All right, I want you to turn over, mark that portion there and turn over to Philippians chapter 1, first of all. Philippians chapter 1. Did you spot the theme of that chapter? Do you spot the word? One word that's mentioned many times. Not in that chapter only, but in chapter 3. One word I'm looking for. Suffering. Suffering. Verse, if I had a text, it would be 1 Peter 4, verse 16. If any man or woman or young person suffers as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Glorify God. Suffering as a Christian is the title of this message. All suffer. All people on the face of the earth suffer. They have suffering. Believers seem to suffer more. They suffer trials and afflictions, contrary to what religion is saying today. True believers suffer more. Just study the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of them. Just study. But we suffer different forms and different sufferings. Different ones suffer various things. But all true disciples of Christ suffer in this way. All true disciples of Christ suffer this one common suffering. Persecution for the truth. Persecution for the faith. Look at Philippians 1, verse 29. He says in Philippians 1, 29, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him. Faith is a gift. If you believe, it's because God gave you the gift. And all those who believe, He said, this is also given too. Read it. Not only given to believe, but also to suffer. For His sake, having the same conflict you saw in me and now here to be in me. Paul was writing that from jail. And he said, I've suffered many things, but I do count the loss of all things. But for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Persecution for the faith. All true disciples suffer persecution for being a disciple. For believing the truth against popular opinion, against the world religion. You believe the truth, you're going to be in the minority. It always has been. Noah and seven people. You reckon Noah suffered persecution? You reckon so? How much laughing do you reckon that Noah endured? As he built the boat on dry land and kept telling people, it's coming, it's coming. Well, when, Noah? 50 years passed. Noah? Rain? It's never rained, Noah. What's rain? The preacher and the believer says God's going to rain fire. Rain fire? Rebecca? Rain fire? And 40 years passes, and 50 years passes, and 60. Noah's still hammering. Still saying the same thing. Noah, come on. Nobody believes that. Get with it, Noah. This is the year. What year was it? Noah, this is the year. What year was it? 1000, Noah. Come on, this is not 500 B.C. Get with the times, Noah. You believe the truth, it's against popular opinion. You believe there's one true God, just declare God's God, and you got to fight. And you'll be hated. You'll be persecuted. Nobody believes like that. Y'all are a cult or something, aren't you? No more so than Noah was. You believe in the true Christ, you're going to be persecuted. You believe in the true gospel, if you dare to say it's one gospel, one way, it's narrow. They're going to call you narrow. They're going to call you bigoted. So be it. So be it. All suffer. All believers, true believers, will suffer because, like Paul said to the Thessalonians, you turn from idols to serve the true and living God. You don't serve, you don't believe in the God of your imagination anymore. You don't believe the God of the 20th century, this God who wants to and can't, this God who tries and fails, this God that men have made up, this God who is no God. He's an idol. He's like unto those that made him. He has no hands but theirs, no feet but theirs. That's an idol, isn't it? This God that only does what they let him do. He's the puppet. People complain, you know. They talk about the sovereign God. They say, well, that makes you a puppet. Well, what have they done, Rebecca? They've made their God a puppet, haven't they? He does what they want him to do. They pull the strings. You turn from idols to serve the true and living God, and you're going to be persecuted. You turn from self to God. You turn from self. Begin to hate yourself and hate everything. You turn from the world to Christ. You turn from popular way the world's going. You turn from it. Just say, hey, I remember when I was a young man and the Lord began to work on me and began to open my eyes to what I was and going on around me. I began to quit some things and start to get interested in these things of God. And they looked at me like I'm getting way ahead of myself. At any rate, you turn from the world to Christ, and you're going to be persecuted. If you like Noah or Moses, when Moses, the Scripture says in Hebrews 11, was come to years, when Moses came to years, it said that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, laughter, persecution, mockery. Yeah, you got religion. He chose that rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's all they are, just a season. I mean just a season. Look at chapter 3 in 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at it. Got a Bible? Turn. 1 Peter 3. Look at verses 10. And I preached from this chapter not very long ago. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. You got it? Everybody, young people especially. Verse 10. He that will love life and see good days. You love life? Well, if you're 16, you do. If you're 16 or 15, 14, 18, man, it's out there. I mean, you got the whole life ahead of you.
Maybe, maybe not.
Nevertheless, you love life, and you're anxious to grab all the gusto you get. You want to love life? You want to really live? Read on. Either love life, see good day. You want to see good days? Let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that speak no guile. Be a real person. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be one way in front of your parents and another way in private in front of your friends. Two-faced. Everybody see right through you. You're a laughing stock. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Read on. Verse 10. Speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. Eschew it. Avoid evil. And do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Read on. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. Lord, help. I'm young. Help. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who's going to harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I tell you who to fear. Fear God. Fear God. He said, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, if you suffer for believing there's only one righteousness, you will. If you dare to claim, you dare to go out in the world and say to all the religious people, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Say to the most moral and upright man, I don't care how long his beard is or black his clothing, say that that righteousness won't get you to glory. That bonnet on your head won't get you to glory. Only imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ will do it. All that's filthy rags. That garb is filthy rags before God. You'll be persecuted for that. You'll be thought of as uncaring, unfeeling, overly strict. But especially by the self-righteous. You know, the self-righteous don't like this talk of another right, of Christ's righteousness. Or righteousness. You'll be persecuted for what's right, doing what's right. You'll be persecuted for doing what's right. I'm just trying to do what's right. Oh, come on. I just want to do right. What's wrong with that? I want to live right. I've lived wrong long enough. I want to live right. Ain't nobody doing what you've done. You're going to be persecuted. Verse 17, he said, it's better. Read it, everyone. It is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's better to suffer shame from the world now and glory with God later than glory and party with the world now and be eternally shamed later. Who can warn? The Scripture says, who hath warned to flee from the wrath to come? Who hath warned? Praise of men. Christ suffered, verse 18, look at it. Christ also, who is this Jesus Christ? This man, Jesus Christ. There's never been a man like this. I mean a man's man. Jesus. Nobody could find fault in him. After a while, that's what they found fault about him. They couldn't find fault. He suffered, verse 18, once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And I feel, I mean this from my heart right now. I look at people, young fellows like Andrew there. I've known the boy now a good while. Long enough to fall in love with him. To love him like a father. And I believe I can say this from the heart. I could wish myself cursed for your sake. I wish I'd trade places with you right now. And impart to you what I know and believe now, and the Christ I know and love now, impart to you now, and let me take what you might have to go through. God spare you. God keep you. God save you. You know what I'm saying? Some of you? That's what Paul said. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did when he came here. For the likes of me. I mean a no good prodigal son, ashamed to his mother. That's what the proverb said. A rebellious son is ashamed to his mother and an embarrassment to his father. That was me. And that's who Jesus Christ came to save. Would you save, would you have anything to do with some gutter snipe, low life, no good boy that's no good to anybody, including himself? Would you die for him? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for this fellow. The just for the unjust. The holy for the filthy. Filthy. All right, look down at verse 1 of chapter 4. He said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm yourself. Believer, prepare yourself. What it means, arm, get armed. Get your arms. What if I said to Rick and some of these fellows, arm yourself? What would they do? They'd run and grab their weapons. What weapons do we have? Ephesians 6. Read it for yourself. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Arm yourselves. Need arming right now to hear this message. Arm yourselves. Be prepared. We're not wrestling with flesh right now to stay awake. But principalities and powers are determined for you not to hear them. I know this is so. Why? Because I see it. Why is it we can sit down and just be engrossed in foolishness? Huh? I mean engrossed to the point of just can't put it down and don't even hear somebody when they're talking to you. Just absolutely taken up with it. And when you sit down before the Word of God, it has eternal consequences, and we can't stay away 5 minutes. What's at work? Arm yourselves. Christ suffered. Was He weary in the flesh? Ain't nobody worked like He did. Ain't nobody spent as many hours in the day as He did. They told Him at times, stop! He said, there's 12 hours in the day, I've got to work. He didn't sleep for 4 days before He went to Calvary's tree. 4 days He didn't go to bed. Arm yourself. Likewise. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Arm yourself. Prepare yourself. He said, prepare to be hated. Christ said, you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. Prepare. Count the cost. Are you willing? Are you willing to lose some friends? Are you willing to take the ire and the persecution of your husband or your former friends? Are you willing? Count the cost. If not, then don't do it. Don't get into this thing. That's what he said. Arm yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare to be hated, despised, rejected. But oh, the consolation. Scripture says, after this thing's over, the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. For the joy. Christ suffered excruciatingly. Christ suffered from day one, 33 and a third years. Suffered. And he said, for the joy set before him. What he looked forward to. And the former wouldn't even remember. Or like a woman giving birth. Every one of you women, if I asked you, would you go through that again? For that one you love, you wouldn't even hesitate. You wouldn't hesitate. Neither did Christ. 33 and a third years. And really, how much suffering do we suffer on that account, or in respect to Him? Christ said, though, you would. He said, don't marvel now when this happens to you. It's so strange thing happened to you. He said, remember when I told you it's going to happen. Then he said, John, remember when this thing comes on. And he said, blessed are you. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil falsely against you for my name's sake. I remember when I was a young man, they began to poke fun at me. And I didn't like it. I didn't want to be made fun of any more than anybody else. Nobody likes to be made fun of. I want to be like one of the guys. I still want to be one of the guys. I'm a leper. A preacher, if you got reverend or preacher, if you got that title, you're a leper. I'm telling you, you're a leper. You watch people's countenances change. As if you said, unclean, unclean. I'm serious. I don't like that. I don't want to be. It's the reason I don't tell people right off what I am. Let them find out later, much to their horror. I remember being made fun of. Christ said you would be.
Why?
Why? Read on here in 1 Peter 4.
Why?
Why? Look at 1 Peter 4. Why do they suffer you? Hate you? Why do you suffer? Because you're no longer like them, and they feel guilty to some degree around you, and they know better. And look at verse 2. He no longer, said he that suffered no longer live the rest of his time, the rest of his time, in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The rest of his time. How much time do we have, by the way? How much time do we have? Terry, you're 50 years old. How much pleasure you got left? The young years, that the oats have been sowed. The rest of your time. How much time do we have left? By the way. Well, it said here, verse 3, the time passed of our life. Time passed, and boy, it has passed. I feel like I ought to be 16 right now, but I'm not. Man. Still ought to be in high school. Man. The time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentile, and we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banquetings. What's that? Party. Party! You may have thought that satisfied. It may have sufficed for a while. The life of the party. I've known a lot of lives of the party are dead right now after the party. And you're looking at a miracle of God's grace that I'm not either. And just give you instant after instant, account after account of miraculous preservations of this young man's life. Excess of wine, lust, and revelings, and banquetings. Miracle of God. You're looking at a miracle of God's grace standing in front of you. It's a miracle of God's grace. I'm not standing before a thrice holy God now, condemned to everlasting punishment. You know, the Scripture says when you become a man, you put away childish things. What's that? Toys. Toys. As a man, I listened to a man the other day talk. He's about 50. He's about 55 or so, and he's a partier, and he lets everybody know it. He's the life of the party, too. He's always bragging about his party and his drinking escapade. 55 years old, still bragging. Sounds like an 18-year-old. Sounds just like some boys I used to. Sound like me. And you know, everybody just looks at him like, what a pitiful fellow. Never has grown up. Just a big, overgrown baby. Scripture says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still when Christ comes. He that is filthy, let him even be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Or he that wants to be, he's going to be righteous still. Behold, I come quickly. You go on with the world. Young or old, or young men, children, young men, older, go on with the world, you're going to go down with it. But not me. Not me. Steve, who go with me? You go with me? I ain't going down with it. I'm going to jump ship. Steve, you're still young, aren't you? Sam, come on. Let's jump. Let's swim. Let's be like Peter. Get off this sinking ship. Swim to Christ. Sink or swim, I go to Him. I ain't going down with it, buddy. I'm just not going to go down with this world. You can't. You want to go down with it? Go. I'm not. Scripture says, why will you die? Not me. Read it. It says that the time past of our life may suffice. In verse 4, and they think it's strange you don't run with the same excess of riot. Are you reading it? Everybody. Young people, got your eye on the Bible. 1 Peter 4:4. They think it's strange you run not with them the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. She got religion. She's gone over the deep end. She got religion. Rebecca, were you looking for religion? No more than I was. I used to poke fun. You did too. Probably poke fun of me. Came to hear me preach, probably. And poke fun went back later on. And talked about all these brainwashed cult followers. Now she is one of them. Cult follower. That's just, what are you following? You're a man follower. Brainwashed. Brainwashed. But she doesn't have to answer to men. Read it. Verse 5. They have given account to him as ready to judge. Quick in the day. She is going to have to give an account before God Almighty though. Verse 7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore serious, sober, serious, watch unto prayer. Serious. Be serious. Watch unto prayer. The end is at hand. Watch. Wait for Christ. Watch for the wolf. Listen to your watchman. Don't look at your watch. Listen to your watchman. That's me. Watch unto prayer, the scripture said. Watch unto prayer. A young person. You got all these, just all these hormones and genes and juices flowing in the world, pulling in every voices, TV, radio, preachers. Call on the name of the Lord. Call Him. I dare you. As Barnard used to say, I double dog dare you. Call on the name of the Lord. Lord, speak to me. Save me. Help me. Help me. Watch unto prayer. Lord, keep me. Keep me from this world. Keep me from myself. Keep me from sin. I wish somebody had grabbed me when I was 15, 16, 17, 8. Maybe they did. Maybe I just, now it's too dead to feel it. Just slap me upside the head and say, son, you're going down. Going down fast. Why will you die? Why are you going to follow these ignoramuses? Ain't you got a lick of sense in that? Why are you going to follow this world? Why are you going to go that direction? You know this is what's right. And I did. Steve, I did. What are you going to do that for? Verse 8, read on. Verse 8, above all things, have fervent charity. And you know, all these things, I'm not just picking on young people. I'm not picking on young people. I'm picking on anybody. I've got an urgent message. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to pick. I'm warning them. Pleading, per se, exhorting, admonishing, reproving, rebuking, encouraging, pointing. Wolf, wolf, I'm crying wolf. And all, this applies to everybody. Old people have the same pull. My wife's 36 years old, won't soon to be 37. Might as well be 40. She has the same pull as you do when you're 18, practically, don't you? Don't you feel the same? Don't you feel the same? Don't you hear the same voices? Huh? I have the same temptations that Brandon Shively has over here. I bet you they're worse. I bet you they're worse. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep doing the same thing I did from the beginning, calling on the name of the Lord, seeking the Lord, seeking His help. Help, help, help. And here's a help. This is a real help to you, brethren, who suffer these things. Everybody in here, every believer, you believer, you suffer these. John, you have the same temptations and lust and troubles of the flesh now that you did when you were a young man, do you? Is it getting any better? What about the persecution? What about people? Same thing, isn't it? He said you will the rest of your lives. You must through much tribulation. As long as you're in the flesh. Paul was 50-some years old when he said, the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. What I want to do, I don't do. There's a law warring in my members. The world pulling. When I'm all alone, I think, I quit. Peter quit. Rebecca Peter was 40 years old and guys, get me a regular job. Go back to fishing, cussing. Will you also go away? No, Lord. You know better. I don't want to go. So where are we going to go? I'd like a dog lying in my vomit and going back and going back and going back. I've had enough. I've tasted enough vomit to know what it tastes like. Thank you. Well, I wouldn't want to go back to that again. How much do you have to go through? Verse 8. So rub shoulders. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity shall cover a multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Every man has a gift. Ministry. You have a gift. You have a gift. All of you. Everybody here has a gift. Minister. Let him do it as ability which God gives him. What is the ministry? What is this ministry? What is this gift? Comfort. Fellowship. Help. Comfort one another with evil. Exhort one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. That's the gift. You say, I can't preach, I can't teach. You can speak a word in season. You can fellowship. You can use hospitality. You can have people in your home. You can have them in your home. Rub shoulders. What I'm trying to say is, you those of you who are here tonight, you're in the right place. You're rubbing shoulders with people that are wanting to go to the celestial city, hopefully. You're in the right place. This is a good place to be. You're with people that are suffering the same thing, who've come out of the same gutter, who are having the same problems that you're having, and you can get some strength and some comfort from them. You're rubbing shoulders with the right place, or with the right people. I was reminded of a Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. Says he ran from the city of destruction. He was warned to flee from the wrath to come. And he ran from that city. And it says he saw a man up ahead of him who had gone on ahead of him, who went on before he did, named Faithful. And he saw him, and he ran to get up with him. He said, "Ho, ho, ho there! Wait, I'm going too." Oh, my brother. Let me read this excerpt from that. Listen. Then I saw they went very lovingly on together and had sweet discourse of all things that had happened to them in their pilgrimage. Christian began, "My honored and well-beloved brother Faithful, I'm glad that I've overtaken you and that God has so tempered our spirits that we can walk as companions in this so pleasant a path." Faithful says, "Well, I had thought, my dear friend, to have your company quite from our town, but you did get the start of me, wherefore I was forced to come this much alone." Here Christian said, "How long did you stay in the city of destruction before you set out on this pilgrimage?" Faithful said, "Till I could stay no longer. It was great talk after you left that our city would be burned down." Yeah, but it was for a while on everybody's mind and in their mouth. Christian said, "Why didn't more of them come out and escape from danger?" He said, "Oh, a lot of them talked about it, but I don't think they firmly believed it. I heard some of them speaking kind of scornfully of you after you left, too. They called your pilgrimage foolishness. But I believe, and I do still, that the end of our city will be with fire and brimstone. Therefore, I make my escape." And they went on and had some profitable discourse together. So I close with this. Let me say this to you. Let me say these things to you from God's Word. Watch out for evil communications that corrupt good manners. You may have good intentions, but though you pick those who you run around with, pick them well. You may have good intention. You may have some interest. If they can do it, they're going to get your interest away. They're going to try all they can. They're not in the least bit interested in this God and this gospel and this Bible and these things of God. Not in the least bit interested. And evil communications will corrupt good manners. Choose your friends well. I'm speaking to adults too. I know adults are more guilty of this than young people. Scripture says, "Come out from among them. Be ye separate." Not self-righteous, but separate. Old Pilgrim, when he was running out of that city, you remember that? Christian was running out of that city. His friends and his family were laughing at him. He said, "Ah, come back. What's wrong with you?" He said he put his fingers in his ears. While he was running out of that city, and he was crying, "Life, life, eternal life." Life, life, eternal. Christ, Christ. Give me Christ or I die. Don't look back to Sodom. Remember Lot's wife. "Come thou with us. We'll do you good. Come with me, young man. I'm not that old. I'm not that old. Come with me. I'll do you good." We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. City of God. Ah, fairy tale. Just wait. Ain't no fairy tale. Have you been given a gift? And he says, "Ministered one to another. Help each other on the road to glory." Help each other. Say, "What can I do?" Just be here. If you're not here, you scatter, Scripture says. He that gathereth not, scattereth. Other people, whether you think it or not, they take encouragement in the flesh when you're not here. They say, "Well, so-and-so's not here. It must not be that important. I can miss it." Yes. But by being here, and I've told you the story of some people who's suffering, dying with cancer, and what they said. Really, these excuses are pretty lame. They're pretty dang lame. When somebody's dying, and all they got on their mind is being here. And that's exactly what God looks at. He sure ain't listening to these excuses. And we comfort one another. That's why we're here. We comfort one another. We exhort one another. So much more is the day approaching. I told you, remember that story about Brother Don Bell and I going up the Peaks of Otter? Yeah. I wanted him to see the Peaks of Otter, and he wishes after we started that I hadn't. I took him up there, and I had climbed it before. And it was tough the first time. But I had forgotten. But we started out climbing up that, you know, some of you have been there. You've been there? And we walked and walked. Seemed like a long time, a long time. And Donnie says, "We about there?" I said, "I think so." And we we came up, and there's a sign. There's a sign, Donnie. Can't be much further. And we came to the first sign that said, "You've gone 1/8 of a mile. You've got 3/4 of a mile to go." Don looked at me and said, "What have you got me into?" I said, "Just wait, Don, just wait. Let's just go on a little bit further." We started, kept walking and walking. And he was tired. He wanted to quit. "Let's go back. Can't be that great." No, come on, let's keep going. Well, after a while, I started talking that way. Got about halfway there, I said, "Yeah, let's quit." I said, "Let's go back." He said, "No, we've come this far. I got to see it now." And we did that back and forth up that hill, till finally we got to the top of that hill. You've been there, haven't you? Huh? And it was the most glorious day that day, when the cloud in the sky, no haze, no fog, no nothing. You could see as far as I could see up on that. And we totally forgot about that climb. We both said, "Aren't we glad we did this?" So glad. Built a little fire and sat around. We talked about scriptures. And we talked about a fellow that's been through it. And we talked. We had such a good time. And that's what the scripture says that we're to do for one another. Exhort one another. So much more. You see the day approach. See the view. Let's keep going, buddy. It ain't far now. It's getting close. The view. There's a song we used to sing, "It Will Be Worth It All." And I quoted you that from Isaiah 65:17. It says, "The former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind." Somebody says, "Boy, it was a rough life we lived." What life? Went through a lot of suffering. What suffering? Don't rightly remember. For the joy. Of the joy. It will be worth it all. When His glory shall be revealed, the Scripture says, you're going to be glad, verse 13 says, with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. You ever been happy? That's what Brother Donnie calls it. Get happy. We got happy. That's what he called being rejoicing. That's his old Pentecostal coming out on it. Got happy. Well, that's good enough word, happy. Ever been just exceedingly happy? Well, he says it's going to be exceeding. It's going to be exceeding joy. Barbara, times when you hear the gospel, when you just think you can't be contained, well, one of these days you're not. You're not going to be able to contain yourself. He that will love life and see good days, you seek Christ, happiness you never know. And he said on down there, if the righteous scare, the time has come, judgment's here. See, this was a hard message, preacher, verse 17. And these are hard things. Time has come, judgment's begun right here. The world's not listening to this. You are. I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to your buddies you go to school with. I'm preaching to you. They're not going to hear this. You are, Jennifer. And I pray to God you hear it. I mean, you hear it, not hear. Hear. They're not going to hear it. They didn't hear this, and they're probably not going to hear it. But you did. Wherefore, let him that them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul. Lord, I'm just a lost soul. I'm a weak, finite, fickle, failing, struggling, fleshly creature. Help! He said he's a very present help. Very present help. That's all he is. That's all you need to do. Help! Young people, I dare you. I dare you. I dare you. All right, Sherry, come up. Let's sing a couple of verses of this. You know why I can't? I'm so fearful for this generation, our young people. Why can't the Lord save a 15-year-old? 16. 16 beyond saving? 17? 18? We kind of got that idea. I believe I do. Well, he's hopeless. No, he's not. No, he's not. Anything too hard for the Lord? All right, let's sing a couple of verses here. 5:14. Let's stand for a second. 5:14. Let's sing the first and last verse. All right. Father, keep the fowls of the air, the thorns, away from the word. Let it be planted in the heart of someone tonight, we pray. That's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.